Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Overcounting. What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we're coming to you live from a couple of places on the internet. We're live on Crowdcast, we're live on YouTube, and maybe you're listening later wherever you get your good old podcasts. But, guys, very exciting, very special show tonight.
Hollywood Justin's here.
Hollywood Justin is here.
Yep,
and sure. Most important, we are going to be doing a breakdown of the future of the DC Universe. We're going to do a guestless show. We're going to get into it. There's too much news, too much to talk about. So on the show, first off, just to mention this right off, we're going to be talking about Black Adam. We all saw it this weekend. We're going to be going full spoilers on it. So if you don't want to know about Black Adam, tune out, tune away now.
But let me just say, before you turn everyone off, this movie, you can't spoil this movie. This movie's unspoilable. If you've seen any superhero movie,
this
movie. I definitely thought that after I saw it. I was like, well, not much.
You could spoil some things that happen.
Sure. You could spoil some things that happen. We're certainly going to be talking about the end credit scene, which they spoiled, I want to say, several weeks ago during the press tour. Yeah. But we're going to be talking about that and the future of the DC Universe, including the big news that James Gunn and Peter Safran are going to be taking over DC Studios. That was announced earlier today. We're going to do that towards the end of the show, as well as answering some of your questions live. But first, and most importantly, to set the tone for the show, I just wanted to mention, I am drinking the Rocks Margarita this evening. This is a margarita designed by Dwayne
The Rock Johnson.
By The Rock. Yeah. You guys know this. He loves tequila. Oh, he puts it on everything. I was reading, apparently, he puts it on like oatmeal.
What? Is that
gross?
True?
Yeah, that's true, apparently. Gross. Totally gross.
Also, that's wildly unhealthy, I would think.
Not
gross.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not good. Anyway, this is a pomegranate margarita. It's very delicious. So thank you, The Rock. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Margarita.
I mean, he personally made that for you, right?
Yes, he did. He's right off camera. We're not going to bring him into the stream or anything. You know me.
Honestly, we have notes for the movie, and this movie's very close to his heart.
Yes, absolutely. He's sitting over there with his earmuffs on, so he doesn't want to know.
Shout out to Michael Tillman in the comments. It's in a low Ballers glass. great joke. Shout out to Ballers, a show that vanished from the cultural consciousness, apparently, because I haven't heard that name in quite some time.
Yeah, it'll get there. It'll be the new Arliss eventually that people bring up as a joke HBO show. But
100%. And in light, I actually saw Black Adam today here on Tuesday. So in light of that, I'm drinking paint thinner for my drink tonight. Just to try to erase the memories.
So. All right. Well, I think we're getting into it. Hold on. Hold on.
Oh, are you serious, man?
Hold on. First of all, I want to set some ground rules here. I want to set some ground rules here. We got to set out. We talked about this beforehand, and Pete had a really great suggestion. Pete's suggestion was we should judge this movie on a scale of rock hard to hardly rocking.
Nope.
Pete, this is a great idea, Pete. I thought this was really good. So, Pete, just tell us right off, when you were seeing the movie, were you rock hard or hardly rocking?
People should know at home. that it's a lie as soon as you start, like, we had a discussion ahead of time.
Yeah. We don't talk
I'm not a part
lot
of your guys' discussions. I hate it when you start texting too much.
Too much.
Like, I looked at my phone today. There were 10 texts from you guys.
Just most of them were
doing bullshit.
They were actual jokes. Business. Yeah. I sent you several texts. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I sent you an article so you know what we were talking about.
Yeah, I'm not going to read it. I'm not going to look at it.
Great. Smart. This is going to be great. Let's talk about something we all looked at, though, in all seriousness. Black Adam in theaters, the plot, as it were. You probably know this from the comics, but Black Adam is awakened in the present day. He starts attacking Intergang that has taken over Kondak, and the Justice Society, made up of Hawkman, Cyclone, Atom Smasher, and Dr. Fate, try to take him down on the orders of special guest star Amanda Waller. Ultimately, they battle. It ends up being part kind of a plot of a guy who is turning into Sabak, who is the evil opposite of Black Adam. He uses fire, where Black Adam uses lightning, two opposites, as we know.
Yeah.
Oh, and at the end of the movie, Black Adam has decided not to be a ruler of Kondak, but perhaps rule it.
Well, he just doesn't want to sit in a chair.
Right, he doesn't want to sit in a chair.
He doesn't like chairs.
Exactly. So that's the rough plot of the movie. Obviously, a lot of stuff going on there. A lot of things are going down. Pete, you seem to be probably the most positive of us. You were there opening day, rented out a whole theater for yourself so that nobody would see
it was
you.
Kind of like that. I showed up and nobody else was in the theater, which thought, oh, man, this is not a good sign. But
what did you think of the movie? What was your overall take?
I had a blast. It was like a 9-year-old wrote it, and I really appreciated it.
That was going to be my criticism.
How violent it was, how over the top it was. It really felt like they were editing it, and then The Rock was there, was like, you know, it'd be cooler as if maybe I ripped this guy in half.
That is, I think, 100% a spot on for what this movie is.
It felt
the
like
Rock
that.
Was in the edit bay just being like, Yo,
turn it to 11.
Yeah.
Turn it to 11. No, we can make this more badass.
Yeah. To throw out my general thing, because I'm going to get a sense that Justin is probably the most negative about it.
You don't know that.
I mean, we'll see what happens. I was fine with it, I guess. The entire time I was watching it, I was like, and maybe I'm wrong, you guys know this world much better than I do, but it felt like the wrestlification of superhero movies. Like, they're kind of almost wrestling already because you have guys in tights and they're fighting and whatever. But this was very much like, I'm going to take on this guy, and then this guy's going to take on this guy, and then we're going to take on this guy together, and then there's going to be all these guys trying to get us, and we're going to smash stuff over them, and then we're going to go one-on-one, and that's going to be the big title bout. And
then I'm going to get so powerful, I'm going to fuck up the devil because I don't give a shit.
And I appreciated that, but one of my big reservations is I wish they had leaned into the fun of that a little bit more, because it felt like if they had gone all the way into being a nonstop wrestling match, that would have been more fun than like the very weak mystery that they wove into there. And frankly, this is the point where Pete's going to turn on me, and I'm going to throw this out there. The absolute weakest part of the movie, and I was so surprised about this, was The Rock.
Oh, come on.
Wow,
absolutely. Man. And the reason I say that is I love The Rock. The Rock's a stupidly charismatic man. In this movie,
why
he was played
stupid with the
amazingly, amazingly charismatic,
a
wonderfully charismatic man.
Yeah.
I am, when I think about him, I am, to use your parlance, Pete, rock hard, right? That's what you would say.
It is
putting
Pete
weird
quote.
Shit on me, man. Don't associate.
You texted
me with weird
it all
shit.
Day, and you're like, I want to do this bit. Anyway, my point being that he played it like a robot that was trying to figure out how to fall in love. That was my big takeaway of the movie. Maybe it was like a Terminator 2 thing or something like that.
Yeah, I think
he
was trying to be Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That's not Black Adam, the character from the comics, and that's not The Rock. And if he had just leaned into being The Rock, it would have been a lot more fun.
I disagree. I thought Black Adam, the character, kind of looks like The Rock, and I feel like that's what made
that's
this
true.
Connection. Like, they were like, all right, listen, who's hot right now? Fucking The Rock.
What, by the way, who's hot like right now Rock? 13 years ago?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
that's
and also,
when he
what no character one said, looks like The Rock, Black Adam, done.
No one said who looks like Black Adam. Let's make a movie about that person. The Rock has been trying to make this movie for so long, and it's a testament to his power as a box office force that he made a movie that is very strange as part of the larger DC picture, and we can talk about that later.
I mean, if you would have said to me, listen, do you want to see an action movie where it's 2 hours of The Rock throwing people into the air being like, can you fly? You know what? I'd sign up.
I agree with you. Unfortunately, this movie was a lot of Hawkman being like, wait, guys, don't do that. So if I had a movie that was...
I liked Hawkman. I thought it was a great casting choice.
Well, hold on. Let's get Justin's overall perspective first.
Let me throw this out to you. Have you ever gone to a movie and wanted to fall asleep? Then, like, go to sleep, brain.
No, I would go take a nap then. I wouldn't pay money to then sit in a theater.
I know. I didn't want to miss a moment. But this movie, like, I also like The Rock, and this is a passion project for him. But I think that's where it felt like halfway between – it felt like everyone in this movie was trying to look cool all the time. Mm-hmm. And that makes for a hard watch, I think, because you want people to be able to – like suffer a little bit or be sad, and the whole time like they're like in the middle of their country and city being falling apart, and
are
they're
you
smiling
showing
and
the movie
laughing
while we're talking, like how can you legally do that?
It's a trailer, Pete.
Oh,
calm down.
And I also thought
were pulling this from.
Yeah, no, I'm actually in the theater right now. I haven't seen the movie. I'm just sort of like, these are my raw reactions from in the theater.
We're gonna get the live take. Do you know about
this
Rock's performance?
This popcorn is stale. Go ahead.
I feel like they were trying to do the Drax joke from Guardians a lot. And I was like, that's wrong. And A, it's a ripoff. Don't do that. And B, it just is wrong for both The Rock and Black Adam. Only at the end of the movie when he was like fully talking to people, I was like, why didn't we start with this? Because he shows up and he's so like... First off, he just fights everybody. He murders a ton of people, and then the one lady in the room, he's like, "Dude, I won't kill her."
Listen,
literally,
if you woke
lightning
up from a 5,000-year nap, you're gonna be a little grumpy, and you're gonna start tossing people around like rag dolls. That's just factual stuff.
If I woke up from the nap I took in this movie and realized I was still in this movie, like the Black Adam did, I would be mad. I agree.
Let me throw out something just talking about The Rock in general, and this is taking a step back to what Pete said before. This, to me, feels like almost the most controversial part of this movie, which otherwise is a fine thing, like I said earlier, is having The Rock at the center. Like you said, Pete, this is a guy who kind of looks like Black Adam. This is something that back in the day, and there was a really good article by, oh my gosh, I'm forgetting her name, but it's Hannah Flint, I'm forgetting her last name, where back in the day, he was a person who looked kind of brownish, right? And that was it. And they were like, oh, let's cast him as this guy who is from the Middle East. There you go. All done. Now, you can't do that, or at least you shouldn't do that, or at least try to find an actor who actually is from the Middle East, even if it's a fictional Middle East country like Kondak, to cast in that role. Add in the fact that you have all of these other characters who are in the fictional country of Kondak who are talking with, I don't know, we want to say a Kondaki accent or whatever it is. Mm. And The Rock's like, hello, I'm The Rock. I am American. Hello, how's it going? It points to the sense of like a very retrograde look at that sort of movie. No, I'm sorry.
Did you think you were going to buy tickets and see Shakespeare? You were seeing a rock action movie.
I'm talking about racism. Racism right now, very specifically.
All right. Well, you know,
I agree with you, Pete, because like I didn't walk into this movie being like, this is going to blow my mind.
Well, you guys are complaining like you did.
Well, but let me say,
I showed up, knew what I was getting, got that, and walked away going, thank you. And you guys were like, well, the acting and the, you know, like, what the F are you talking about?
It still says it's going to be a movie. It's not like you're watching a commercial.
Sorry, not to harp on this. I just wanted to read a comment here. All in the Game over on YouTube says coded as Egypt. I think that's correct. And if we want to compare it, I'm sorry to get back to this point, but I do think it's an important point to talk about. If we want to compare it to, for example, Moon Knight, a show which I know we were very mixed on in terms of the quality, but I think we all agreed they tried really hard to present an Egypt that is not the typical Egypt you see on screen. They wanted to show you a city. They wanted to show you that the pyramids are the distance that they actually are from the city, that people live there, and it isn't all just like these dirty streets with old cars where people are like hawking their wares in tight markets, and that's pretty much it. And that's exactly what Black Adam did. And I think looking at it from an American perspective as an audience, we go in and we're like, sure, that is kind of what Khandaq looks like in the comics. So I guess that's representative in that way. But in terms of presenting a modern Egyptian, Egypt-coded city or Middle Eastern city or something like that, they could have tried harder, particularly with 13 years of going at it.
But what I also think, it just, that's just one element that is like a surface read on all of the things in this movie are very much like, well, we don't need to dive in. And to Pete's point, it's like, we're not going to dive deep into any of these points. We're just going to tell a very fast paced action story where we see the we see Black Adam's origin a lot of times with a couple different reveals along the way. And he, as a larger theme, what are we even talking about here? Is he a hero or is he not? And at the end of the day, it's like sort of, that's not even a question they answer. He's just like, no, I'm just this guy.
Given the compressed timeline, would you call it like the before sunset of superhero movies?
I think a lot of people are saying that on the way out the door. Definitely. That is the vibe. P, I hear you, because like I agree, my expectations were at where they were when I walked into this movie. I was just surprised how it felt like they really just pulled a lot of other things from superhero movies and didn't really take a swing at this. And like, I just thought the one thing for sure that would be here would be The Rock taking a swing at him being his like dream superhero role, Black Adam. And instead it felt like they did the Drax thing. They had elements of like Wakanda at play in Khandaq. They had like just a lot of things that felt like it was just pulled from other parts of the world that we already know well enough. And then not a lot of twists and turns in the plot.
Well, to throw it out there, I was thinking about this a lot in the movie, because I think you can do a mishmash of other stuff, right? Like, we were just watching a clip here where they throw the guy off the cliff, which is straight up 300. And most of the prologue, the thing happens at the beginning where they go back in time a couple of thousand years, I think, in Khandaq. 5,000 years, yeah.
It's 5,000 years from present day. Yeah.
Yes. That is 100% just, it's shot like 300. It's paced like 300. It looks like 300. Like you were saying, putting up the triangle thing is very like, what is our Wakanda forever? Let's do that. And there's a lot of shots that definitely play like Zack Snyder throughout the movie. There's other things that I'm blanking on right now, but there's certainly like impressions from other movies that I got throughout here. I think the thing that I kind of came away with is you are allowed to do that if you're remixing it in a fresh way. And it's not just like, you know, it was cool in this other movie. Do you remember that? Let's do that now, you know?
Well, and let's talk about some positives though, because I agree with you. And like, Pete, maybe you have some positives you want to talk about. I'll start. I thought the JSA was pretty well used here, like specifically Dr. Fate, despite being a bit of a Doctor Strange, like beat for beat ripoff. I actually really liked Pierce Brosnan as Dr.
James
Fate.
Bond as Dr. Fate. I thought it worked really well.
And I don't know what it is about Dr. Fate in general, but the fight, seeing Dr. Fate fighting the Black Adam, I thought was awesome. I really liked those sequences. I liked our Hawkman. I didn't think he got stuck being a little bit of the scold, bothering everyone with like, we're here to protect global stability. I was like, what? That's not what people want. But I like that performance. I thought the Atom Smasher and Cyclone were sort of very strange in the movie. They were like just hanging out the whole time.
They're the rookies that are, you know, trying to hang with the kind of the A team there, you know.
They didn't seem at all scared or nervous at any point in the fact that they almost died several times.
Well,
but
I did
like their energy. Like, I liked their sort of like, yeah, we're here.
In there, a budding rom-com in there. Come on. I mean, this is
yeah, they did. So I mean, to throw it out, and this is like, again, what I was sort of thinking about a lot while I was watching the movie was
cool helmet. There was
what?
Cool helmet. Oh, cool helmet.
I thought cool helmet.
Yo, cool costume. Yo, check out that slow-mo on Cyclone. Sweet. And then, whoa, Dr. Fate. Whoa, Hawkman. Cool. No, what I was kind of struggling with a little bit is, like, generally speaking with a movie, when you have characters, you all want them to tie into the central theme in some way, or at the very least, support and tie into the character and the journey that they're going on. The JSA did not do that exactly. And they were more kind of just there on their own, doing their own things as potential setup for a Justice Society movie or something like that. If you think about it in the greater sense of the world, why is Amanda Waller running the Justice Society, who's like, we never kill people, when she also runs Task Force X, which is like, we kill people all the time. So the connections there, like, well, hold on. I'm framing this up with, like, the stuff that I was thinking about during the movie, where I was like, this doesn't make sense, but also to the point that we're making, I enjoyed watching them at the same time. You know, in terms of it just being breezy and not necessarily a slog, I was okay with that. And it's the sort of thing where it's like, I don't think this is the greatest movie in the world. I don't think it is frustrating to me on the basis of being a comic book fan that Hawkman, a character who is intrinsically tied to the origin of Teth Adam and Black Adam, has absolutely no reason to be here other than I'm a cool character. But just watching it on the surface when you're in there in the 2 hours, it's the sort of thing that's like, this is nice to watch in air conditioning in the middle of the summer. Obviously we're not, but like, that's the kind of movie it is. And I think it plays like that, and that's okay. You know?
Yeah, it is okay. You know, I mean, you guys are like talking about all these things that got to connect and do stuff when it's just like, why can't it be just like, hey, here's some cool characters. But mainly we're kind of focusing on what Black Adam was dealing with. Like, I just think that, like, you know, there is a lot of talk, especially with, you know, Superman and stuff like that, about, you know, killing, not killing, you know, all that kind of stuff. So here's a character who, you know, has a different kind of origin story, and maybe you can understand a little bit about why he would be willing to kind of do these things, you know. So I don't know. I just thought, you know, I wasn't trying to put all these things on it or try. I was just trying to enjoy what I was given here. And, you know, I just think it was one of those things where it's a popcorn movie. You got to turn off your brain to have some fun, because otherwise you're going to be picking things apart all day, and there's I don't know why that's enjoyable.
That's kind of the point of us talking about it on a podcast a little bit. If we were just like, turn off my brain, this would be a very short podcast. So were you gonna say something? Oh, okay, I'll go ahead. The other thing that I think, and I know Pete's gonna hate this point a lot, but something that was also, I think, affecting the way that not just myself but a lot of other people are thinking about the movie, is the place that DC is in / was in until later on today, in terms of very much being in flux. No movies coming out for a good chunk of good long while. No clear sense of where the movie franchise was going in the future. If Black Adam was slotted in where it was supposed to slot in this year, which, if you think back at the beginning of the year, DC put out this great promo about, like, 2022 is the year of DC movies. The Batman's coming out. Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom is coming out. We're going to get Black Adam. We're going to get The Flash. And I think there were a bunch more things that they were teasing as well that were going to come out, but it was going to be a big year of DC movies. Obviously, like, 50% of that at least did not happen. And then Discovery took over. And instead, you have this span of months between the Batman and Black Adam, where suddenly Black Adam is like, what's the future of DC movies, Black Adam? We got to ask you, The Rock, what are we going to do with these DC movies? And he has to step up on the press tour and talk about all this stuff. But frankly, I think that's too much weight for this movie, which, if it had come in the middle of a bunch of other things, would be like, yeah, it's a fun lark, you know?
Well, I think that's such a great point, because it's like asking, like, your cousin that has a trunk full of fireworks. You're like, well, you're mayor now. So what are you going to do? And he's like, light these fireworks off? When, if, like, there's a bunch of other options, it's like, well, let's have the mayor be someone else. And it ends up being that Black Adam is this movie is a huge representative of the DC universe. It's also very strange, because I think the Batman great. Very excited we're getting more of those. But that has feels like it's walled off in its own world. Same with the Joker stuff. But then the main DC universe is Shazam and Black Adam. And that's something that I think very few people are like.
Aquaman, yes. Wonder Woman.
Well, yeah, but like where that's what like the trailer that ran before my screening of Black Adam was a Shazam trailer. And if all of my DC characters have to shout Shazam and they turn into kids, like I don't know if I'm loving that.
That was the other thing that was so, and I don't say this in a negative way, weird about this movie that I was not expecting. And I guess I should have expected this going in, but it was essentially Shazam 2. Like, the wizard from Shazam is in there. It's all about the Rock of Eternity. They don't mention Shazam or Billy Batson or anything like that, but it clearly takes place in the same world. Like we were mentioning earlier, Amanda Waller, Viola Davis is there. What's her name? Hargove? Whatever.
The blonde woman.
The blonde woman who married James Gunn.
Who yells so much in this movie.
She's trying to shout over the water. There's water in that prison underwater, and she has to shout very loud.
First off, if you're going to do a press thing in front of the helicopters and all that, you're going to have to talk louder. You know what I mean?
Just was very strange to have her be like, hey, you know what I like? Locking up these dudes. Stop yelling.
Why are you mad at her for trying to project her voice so we can hear it?
I'm not mad about it. I just thought it was strange. And also, that prison has a lot of leaks. I understand it's underwater, but they gotta fix that.
If you're going to have a wall of water that people go through, don't also have water falling everywhere inside of the prison.
It's a wet prison. They're gonna have black mold.
You know what would have made the movie 100% better for me? If they showed the guy who has to mop up that prison all the time. Because what is that guy going through? That guy should kill people, honestly.
Yeah, that's the real maniac.
I do, and I don't know if you guys feel the same. I'm curious to hear from you. I know this is going back a point or two, but I am very tired of the should heroes kill thing. And I kind of wish we just moved past that into, he kills people and he kills people a lot. And that's okay. That's what we came here to see.
Well, especially having Hawkman complain about it the whole time. And he was just ripping people apart he kicked Hawkman's ass over and over again. Didn't kill him, but killed every other person around.
Well, and also it gets into this very weird thing for superhero movies where the Justice Society basically wrecks Khandaq, right? Yeah. And they're like, hey, don't kill anybody, Black Adam. We probably killed a bunch of people earlier, but not you.
Yeah.
The people kind of made a good point about like who's a hero. You know what I mean? You guys fly in, you think you're helping, and then you leave. Like, we have to live here and put up with all this shit. And we've been dealing with a lot. So, like, thanks, but no thanks for your help.
I loved that idea. I wish that had been the movie. I wish they had focused on that and really drilled down on that, because that is something that we know from the comics is sort of like part and parcel with the modern interpretation of Black Adam, is him being like, no, I'm not a villain. I'm the leader of this country. I keep this country safe. I keep it prosperous. You keep coming in here and wrecking everything. You're the villain. And maybe it's the way that they framed it up, him coming out of this long sleep and not necessarily knowing the country, but versus this Black Adam a little further down the road who knows about Khandaq and understands Khandaq. But that idea of like, they did that a little bit. It felt a little bit, this was the thing I was remembering earlier, like Avengers in Age of Ultron, when they come into Sokovia and the Sokovians are like, get out of here, Iron Man. What are you doing? Leave us alone.
Yeah.
And then the Avengers end up wrecking Sokovia, which is very bad for them. So that touched on it. I wish this had continued that conversation in some way and drilled into it more, because that to me was the smartest, most interesting theme of the movie.
Yeah, I agree. And on the killing point, it was also strange when he was like halfway through the movie, he was like, I killed all those people out of revenge and then they put me to sleep. And I woke up and I killed a lot more people out of the revenge. So
and then they put me back into a thing and then they woke me up and then they needed me to do
to kill. They needed me to kill this other dude. That's why I'm saying like thematically all over the place. Also, I think it's crazy. Like we were saying, The Rock certainly had a lot to weigh in on how the edit of this movie and the script and everything. At what point was he like, yes, put me in jail for like a significant portion of the second to third act of this movie, and then I'll later come back and have one final fight.
Well, it's this very thing good. Of like, can they do it without him? You know what I mean? Like he says, okay, fine. You guys think I'm too bad. I'm this evil, whatever. Fine. I'll go away. You win. And then
I'll go
like,
away. I'll
oh,
say
shit,
my magic word and turn into a first off, let me before.
Wait, back up the truck here. You're going to bring this up. This is what happened. They said like, hey, you know what? You're bad. You go away. And then they realized, oh no, we're going to die if we don't have him on our team. Now we need him. Then they had to go all the way back and pull him out. So it was like, you know, what he's trying to do the best he can. He just woke up out of a giant nap. He's no longer a kid anymore. He's going through a lot of different things. You know, it's like, you know, yeah, he's going to stare at a statue and just kind of sit there for a little bit, you know, piecing things
well,
together.
Well, also, sorry, this is jumping off, and I don't know if this is getting in the way of your point, Justin. He was never a kid, and that was easily the worst part of the movie. Wait, what, Pete?
Oh, right, because you thought... Oh,
he was the dad.
Yeah. Yes. So, again, if you haven't seen the movie, obviously a spoiler here, but they have this scene set 5,000 years ago where this kid is like, we really need to stand up against the emperor, whoever he is, the king, who is forcing us to get Eternium, this...
No judgment piece, on that. It's, yeah, it's nothing weird
it's
about fine. That.
That's just sort of
it's almost an unobtainium ask. Mm-hmm.
A little bit. But we have to get this Eternium. We really have to stand up to it. And some guy, it's very unclear who, but his dad comes up. He's all in shadow the entire time. And granted, his dad looks like The Rock and talks like The Rock, but he's in shadow, so we don't know who he is.
But he's not big like The Rock.
He's not big tiny. Like The Rock, but his voice is The Rock's voice.
He's a pebble more. He's more of a pebble.
Right. And then there's an implication because they leave out part of the history that like, oh, it was the son who became big like Shazam. We're not going to explain this because we're just going to assume you've seen Shazam and you know kids get turned into big guys. So that's what we're going to get. And it isn't revealed until later that it was actually the dad when they show us the other opposite end of the scene where you see that it's The Rock. Why did they have that mystery at all? Like we are coming to a movie, to Pete's point, to see The Rock as Black Adam. We know The Rock is Black Adam. They show us The Rock at the beginning of the movie. There's no mystery there. They didn't need to bother that at all.
Well, it was also funny. Like, what a compliment to The Rock that they had to spend a bunch of CGI money to make him regular size for a big portion of the movie. They're like,
Captain America before the serum.
Sorry, we need to make you tiny, brother, because it's the reverse Hulk situation. I agree. Like, that felt like something. And I will say I was surprised by that. In the third version of that, where his son is killed in front of him, I was like, oh, I'm surprised. This was the twist. And I was surprised by that. But I was also like, why would you take the time to make this as such a highlighted portion of the movie when, like, coming in, to Pete's point, give me Black Adam and have him wreck shit. I don't need three versions of the origin. Where we're learning different aspects of like the ticky-tacky ways that he became Black Adam.
Well, it's kind of a nod to the Bane origin, the way they kind of twisted it at the end, you know?
Is it?
Yeah.
Wait, which Bane origin?
Well, Batman's in the prison and you think, you know, it was Bane who did all the jumping around, then he revealed it was she did it.
Oh, right, yeah. Okay. It was a tribute to twists, is what you're saying.
Yeah, so yeah.
Yeah, cool.
This is just a tribute.
Yes, we have a couple of questions here about Black Adam, or at least one about Black Adam. This is from Kevin. Question about Black Adam. How did you feel about the use of popular songs in the movie? There were some songs that were introduced diegetically that worked really well, even when they were followed up on non-diegetically. On the other hand, a couple action scenes just had songs playing over them without any diegetic setup, and it pulled me right out. I'm thinking of when he bursts out of the mountain and the Justice Society attack with the cover of Power late in the second act. What'd you think about that?
Well, I'm sorry that it pulled him out of it. The music choice didn't pull me out, but I can understand what he's saying.
I agree it pulled me out, but less for the needle drops felt like it was a wedding DJ for a wedding, like an older person's wedding. is what it felt like. Like when Paint It Black dropped, I was like, what? Who wants this song?
For me, it kind of worked as like diving into that wrestling nature of it, of like, now we're going to pump up a popular song that everybody knows while these two dudes fight, and that's fine. As Pablo points out in the comments, Power was a misfire to me. Painted Black was worse. I've seen several people point out, probably not the right time to have a Kanye West song in your movie, I would say.
Truth.
But
They probably didn't know that when they were making this.
Probably not.
Well, but you might have guessed, though, is what I'm
saying. 15 years ago, you weren't going to be like, hey, maybe don't.
Oh, they planned that didn't one drop needle drop.
Oh, no, that was the first
My original
they,
purpose.
Yeah, the first thing they did.
You Black want Adam the rock, was I wanted to
also
use.
Also, I want Painted Black.
Yeah. I want a Kanye West song here, and we'll figure out the plot later.
And like, I love the idea of it being like a wrestling sort of your walkout music and all that, but it never played that way. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's sort of the larger comment. And I watched this movie at the Alamo Drafthouse, where they show a bunch of clips of The Rock in all of his performances, both in WWF back then, WWE, and all these different things. And he's such a great performer. He's amazing at getting a crowd on his side. And there was none of that fun energy in this movie. And if he, because that's a little bit in the Black Adam character in the comics. He has a swagger. He has a pride. He's Namor-esque, to make a comparison across companies. And if we got a little bit of that, then we could get him being a little bit of a dick, getting him walking out to music and kicking ass. Because this movie, he was the most overpowered superhero in a superhero movie I think we've seen. And if you're not going to swag on that, then what's the point of having him be impossible to beat?
Well, I think this suffered a little bit from the need to introduce Black Adam to the world as a character, which, as we're saying, maybe that was important 13 years ago when he was fresh off the Scorpion King or whatever, but it's not as important right now, and they should have realized that. I think that plays into that final moment of the movie where they're like, oh, you're not going to go by Teth Adam anymore? What's your name? And then he just smiles for, I want to say, approximately 5 to 10 minutes or something like that. Yeah. And then they cut to Black Adam in the title. And we're like, yeah, we know. That's the movie we're seeing. Come on.
Also, very strange that he did the same smile in the post-credit, in the mid-credit scene, where I was like, come on, don't you know where we just saw this?
Yes. Well, what... any other thoughts about the movie before we do move to the mid-credits scene? Because I think that'll kick us into the future of the DC cinematic universe. Pete, take it away.
Yeah, I thought the kid was really good. You know, cool dude skateboard. So it was nice to see. Yeah. Skateboard.
I've never seen that, a cool person having a skateboard as their.
I will say his little passageway in his room.
No, I was going to ruin it. You just asked me what I thought, and then before I can get to the things, you fucking take them, you fuck.
Like, I said something I liked.
I'm sitting here, you drone on about your stupid point and all the shit you put on movies. And then you finally asked me something, and I don't even get to fucking say it.
Nobody knew you.
I didn't know you, and that was the one thing you wanted to talk about.
Fucking man.
Okay. We should have known that Pete was going to have a secret passage.
I let you go on and on about your shit.
Yeah, you know what we're going to do is we'll delete that part out of the podcast.
Jesus fucking Christ, man.
You will reveal the secret passage.
Yeah, the Goonies-esque of him having, like, the secret trap doors and the being able to fucking get out of, like, hot-button situations was great. I love that kid. You know, he was hard to kill. He worked fast. It was really adorable and fun. He really got his personality across in little moments. He brought a lot of the heart of the movie, and I thought he did a great job, and they did some great casting on him. You know,
he was hard to kill.
I thought he was a fun kind of a kid that was running around skateboarding it up. And
real quick, I assume you're going to mention some other things. Can you just really quick top line for them for me so I don't accidentally step on you?
No, that's it. I just wanted to talk about his cool getaway thing.
Literally, that was the only thing you wanted to
talk
about.
That's all I wanted to fucking say.
It's so funny. It's like, Pete, you have the last word in this movie. Go to town. Go to bat for this movie. Like, I love that there was a secret passageway that they used once, maybe twice later.
What do we think about the other characters while we're mentioning the little kid? There was the sister and her brother. The brother was funny. The sister was serious. What did you think?
The bearded guy was also very enjoyable in the van, you know, where he was like, yeah, you guys go climb things. I'm going to sit in this van. That was fun. The, you know, like, oh, shit, he just caught a rocket moment was great. I think that the kind of fun, badass moments got played up nicely with those other characters. So, like, yeah, I mean, I do agree with the fact that Black Adam was, like, super powered up or whatever, but it was still kind of badass to see him handle people as easily as he did. And also when he was kind of, like, fighting with Hawkman about the fact that he didn't kill him, he was just like, well, you were there. I knew you were going to catch him. And I thought that was a fun burn.
I will say the most emotional part of the movie for me was when the brother was sad that he got broken up with once. That truly was the most emotionally exposed any character was in this movie.
What a couple of other things we could probably talk about. We didn't really talk about the villain, Sabacc, who is previously a dude who is playing the same dude as Emperor. What do we think about him?
Same dude as what? What'd you say?
It was the same dude playing the Emperor 5,000 years ago as the guy who is playing the evil leader of Intergang, I want to say. Well, not 100% clear.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Okay. Little unclear, agreed.
What do you think about the villain, Pete? That's what I'm saying.
The devil dude.
What do you think about fire devil dude?
Sabacc. It felt like it was just like I said in the beginning, written by a 9-year-old, where it was like, he's going to get so mad, he's going to beat up the devil. You know, like, so he's so badass, he can beat the devil. So I just thought I was laughing at some of the choices being made in a way that was like, this is not only over the top and ridiculous, but also kind of hilarious that, like, you know, we're fighting the devil right now. And all of a sudden we went from like, okay, first off, there's all this crazy, there's a secret city, and and then there's this magical wizard thing. Okay, sure. But also there's the devil. And, you know, and I was just like, wow, that's just kind of a thing that just happened. Okay, great. Yeah, we're just going to keep rolling with this. So that was just kind of out of left field.
I can't believe they beat Sabacc.
Thought he was going to win for a good chunk of the movie. And we also touched on them earlier, but real quick on the Justice Society members, just to get back to them. We certainly ragged on Hawkman a bunch, but I thought it was fun. He was good.
Great casting. Yeah. I thought they were great. It's hard when you got to be the leader of the team.
He loves global stability. And that to me is like a hallmark of someone I can really root for.
He's trying to be a company man. You know what I mean? He's trying to be like, listen, we gotta.
Yeah. And Pierce Brosnan as Dr. Fate.
Great. I mean, honestly, Dr. Fate was maybe my favorite part. Like, I love Dr. Fate in the comics. I like his helmet. His helmet got to do a lot of stuff. If I had never heard of Dr. Strange, I would have really enjoyed it. But I have.
I did appreciate the fact that Dr. Fate of the comics is Dr. Strange. Let's be honest. It's kind of the same thing. But here they're like, what's his name? Dr. Fate? Okay, you can see people's fate.
I thought it was interesting the way he talked to Hawkman about, like, hey, you're going to die. And I did like Hawkman being like, is it Adam Smasher? I hope it's Adam Smasher. Right.
By the way, as a little side thing, as we're moving into talking about Adam Smasher, it is absolutely wild to me that you screamed at me for mentioning the secret passage thing. And in the 43 minutes we've been talking so far, you have not mentioned Henry Winkler once.
We're going to get there.
We're going to get there.
Yeah.
I asked you to top line it, Pete.
The whole his thing about, like, being, geeked out to kind of talk to him, and it was a fun kind of like an homage to the
How do you feel about, so the context here is Henry Winkler is the Atom Smasher's uncle, the original Atom Smasher, gives him the costume. So the implication was Henry Winkler back in the day was the original Atom Smasher.
He said the line is he inherited his powers from his uncle. I was like, his uncle? How did he inherit them from his uncle? That's not how genetics work. I didn't inherit anything.
He got the suit from him.
Yeah.
The suit, so yeah.
But his uncle's his dad.
Yeah, well, that's
yeah, maybe he didn't have a father figure and his uncle stepped in. I mean, what's the big deal?
I agree. That's still not how inheriting genes. That's not how genetic like sharing of genes work.
If you stop to think too much about this movie, things aren't going to add up.
And let me say, Pete, I think that's where our real dividing line is, because I like to stop and think about stuff and you seem to not. And so you enjoyed it and I
There's thinking movies that you go in and you think, all right, I got to think about the plot and the twist. And then there are movies that are like, this is clearly a popcorn movie. If I'm going to enjoy this, I got to turn off my brain and enjoy
popcorn. I think during all movies, if when I'm not thinking, I'm laying face down in a puddle.
I think the difference between the two of you, if I might step in here for a moment, is Justin, you see a secret passage in a kid's room and you're like, why is this here to go a floor lower? And Pete's like, head first, here we go.
This is my favorite part of the movie. No one better mention it before me on a podcast, but I'll kill them.
You guys never get excited to talk about something and then somebody takes that away from you?
I mean, not that specific thing.
The Henry Winkler thing felt like someone literally FaceTimed. It was like, hey, we're in this movie. Do you want to just say a line real quick? And he's like, yeah, well, I'll say whatever. And then he did it. And then
so, I mean, always great to see him. Just
exactly. Great use of the fonts. I mean, you know, if you're going to FaceTime somebody.
Noah Centineo has gotten kind of a bad rap as an annoying dude, I think. But he was fine here. He was cute. It was definitely like great. Peter Parker in Civil War.
Charming self.
It was Peter Parker in Civil War. It was like straight up the same thing, 100%. And it was charming when Tom Holland did it, and it was charming when Noah Centineo did it.
100%. Let me say, I want a cutscene of him ordering that bucket of, I want to say, 100 pieces of chicken.
Here's the other thing about that, not to get back to the cultural thing, but like the idea that it was KFC, which was Kentucky Fried Chicken and other things. Like, I understand how you arrived at that joke, but maybe have a little more cultural sensitivity, potentially.
That was a crazy moment. Dr. Fay was like, you can't have that here. And he was like, come on. I was like, you just almost died and you're about to almost die again.
Did you stop? Who sold you this chicken? I have questions. And then the last one was Cyclone, who I like the effect. It was fun. Yeah. I don't know why she was there necessarily. I like the character a lot for the comics, but having her have a lot of colors and slow motion spin around, very cool. Looked nice.
Yeah.
Agreed on those talking points, yes.
All right. Why don't we move on then to the mid-credit scene, the big thing that happened here, which again was spoiled during the press tour. The Rock came out and told everybody this to sell the movie. Is at the end of the movie, Viola Davis, as Amanda Waller, comes out and is like, well, 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 you're the leader of Kondak now. Even though you destroyed that throne, you're going to be a real problem. If you become a problem, I'm going to have people step in. I know aliens. And he's like, okay, bring them on. And then Superman steps out. And not only is it Superman, but it's Henry Cavill back as Superman in this final scene and says, we need to talk. And that's where we kind of end things. A couple of little things here. First of all, apparently, to give the backstory here, they were not sure that they could get Henry Cavill or be allowed to get Henry Cavill. And in fact, Warner Brothers did not want them to have Henry Cavill. They shot the scene with what they described as a headless stuntman, which I think means they had somebody dressed
as Halloween.
It was somebody in a Superman suit who was in shadow who stepped out, so they didn't have Henry Cavill. But then The Rock went over the head of WB's head and was like, no, we're bringing in Henry Cavill, we're doing this, we've had drinks together, we're good, he's gonna come in. The Rock shot his half of the scene, and then Henry Cavill came in later and shot his half of the scene. You probably couldn't tell by how seamlessly it was edited together between the two of them, but they were never in the same place at the same time.
No.
And I know.
I saw them talk to each other.
No, they weren't. They were in two different studios. It's wild.
The Rock doesn't smirk. Whatever. That's an old
joke. Anyway, the point is Superman is back, and then Henry Cavill came out on Monday and was like, thank you. It's because of the fans. this is why I'm coming back, and this is just the tip of the iceberg, more Superman to come.
All right, first off, let me just back up the truck a little bit here. So
beep, beep.
What I really liked about the Superman kind of reveal is everybody was kind of coming at Black Adam with a lot of attitude, telling him like, hey, listen, you can't just go around, you know, throwing people willy-nilly, like, you have to do this, you have to do that. And what I liked about the Superman was Superman had a little bit of a nicer tone where he was just like, hey, listen, we need to talk. Like, that was a nice approach to, hey, you're kind of like acting out a little bit of a problem. So I really appreciated that, like, you know, the Justice Society rolled up, gave him orders, like everybody was kind of like putting their shit on him. So it was nice to see Superman kind of be like, hey, listen, we need to sit down and have a kind of talk before things escalate. So I really appreciated that choice at the end. And I thought it was a super important button to kind of put on the end of the movie so you could kind of walk away with a smile on your face.
100%. And I'm so psyched that we have Superman, Black Adam, and Shazam as the tent poles of the DCU. Able to fly. And
why do you keep cutting out Aquaman, Wonder Woman? Like, what is your deal?
Because, I mean, we do have an Aquaman movie coming, but it seems like the main interactive points are Shazam, Black Adam, because they're the same, dealing with the same stuff. And we had Superman at the end of the Shazam movie, and now at the end of the Black Adam movie. So it feels like they're doing stuff. They're hanging. But their whole thing is they're like they're neighbors in every aspect.
Well, and this is very exciting. Henry Cavill, in the video that he put out, he said, now Superman is also going to say Shazam in order to activate his powers, which is really cool.
Smart.
Pablo does point out, which I did think was very nice. He says he had the French curl. I'd call it the S curl, not necessarily a French curl, but he did have that there. And the video that Henry Cavill put out, this is a ridiculous thing to point out, but he seems like not as jacked, like not as beefy. Like he seems a little more slim Superman right now, which as a look I like better.
I'm sure the Rock was like, I don't want anybody looking bigger than me. So get out.
Nobody's bigger than the Rock.
I mean,
that's not even
he didn't get. Yeah, I mean, there's a difference between working out for a whole movie you're going to do and a cameo. You know what I mean? I mean, come on, yep. Cut the actor some slack here.
Absolutely. What do you think, though, about Henry Cavill coming back in as Superman now that we are segueing into the next half?
Well, I'm excited because I feel like he's a great Superman, but kind of got, the shaft a little bit because of all the crappy Superman movies he had to be in. So I'm hoping for maybe a new fresh start with Cavill in the role where he's not doing dumb things.
Oh, cool. That would be cool. It's a weird choice to me. It feels like giving up a little bit if I was being like very harsh.
You don't think he's a good Superman?
Henry Cavill doesn't do anything for me, to be honest. Wow. Like he always feels like a very blank slate.
Alex, what about that article that we shared that we were talking about earlier where he is he's preternaturally destined for the role between his uncanny handsomeness and superhuman physique?
When I think of Superman, the main thing that I think of is his preternatural handsomeness. Is that what you said?
Uncanny handsome.
Uncanny handsome.
Clearly written by a fan.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, the thing is, like, if you compare, like, Cavill, I think he looks the part. 100%.
Exactly.
But I do think, and I don't know if it was a symptom of the movies that he was in, but he's a very cold Superman. Mm-hmm. He's very, like, a distant sort of, like, we should do the right thing here. And I think it's, like, very, like, Christ-like Superman, sort of removed from people and all that. And I think the Superman we want is, like, even though he's not from Earth, he is the most human.
The thing that's weird to me, just thinking about it from a business perspective, is you have Man of Steel, huge box office success, 9 years ago. Now you're looking to launch a second Man of Steel out of Black Adam.
Why would they launch a second Man of Steel?
That is the plan that they've said, is they're like fast-tracking a second, what is essentially Man of Steel 2, out of Black Adam, a movie that made half as much money on its opening weekend 9 years later. That, to me, is a weird business choice. I love Superman, and I'm happy to see a Superman movie. Like, I'm definitely only talking about this from a very calculated perspective. I don't understand how a company that is looking to cut costs wherever they possibly can is like, this is a good business decision. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, but I also think they're trying to fix their business, and they don't quite know how to do that. And maybe this is a good time to segue over to the people taking over. James Gunn at the top of that. So that's...
What's going on? Are you just...
No. Since we're segueing into the second part, I am making a drink for the future of the DC Cinematic Universe. Now, as frequent listeners of the podcast know, Brett Macris, a.k.a. Stray Bullets. Stray Bullies. I messed that up because I was thinking about how you say it, Pete. makes a drink or designs a drink. This week's drink is a drink called the Red Hood because he's been obsessed playing the... Oh my gosh, Gotham Knights video game that just came out. So I'm going to shake one up fresh here. There we go. That should be good. That's nice and cold.
Really nice. What a great show and tell.
There you go. So this is Brett's drink that I'm going to pour for myself right now. It's like a modified version of, I would call it, the Rocks Margarita. Like, it's very similar. So there you go.
Nice. Well, I hope so. You know what I mean?
That's delicious. Drink that's better than the Rocks Margarita, I got to say.
Wow. I drank that earlier and finished mine, and it was very good. Though I substituted some the pomegranate juice for
more tequila.
Another juice that I had, passion fruit, I think.
There we go. Just to throw it over to some YouTube comments here. Before we get too far into it, this is from Frederico Rosa. Let's back up the truck. What about the DC flip, Pete?
Ooh,
I think that's for you.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you get a good quality DC flip in there, I mean, that's going to be some fun stuff, you know.
There you go. But we do have a more serious thing. This is from All in the Game. Man of Steel 2 has no writer director release date. Your choices for the writer or director.
Wow. I don't know. Do you think the 9-year-old that wrote this script is available?
Could be.
They're 10
could
now, be. So no.
Yeah, probably not. They're like,
we need that 9-year-old magic.
We need that. Yeah, that kind of.
Well, I think this does segue into the other big topic of the day, because this is obviously very much going to affect the future of Superman. The news came out a couple of hours before we went live with the show that the long search for the head of DC Films is over. It's actually going to be James Gunn, who directed the Suicide Squad, Peacemaker, also the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, as well as Peter Safran, who is a producer he's worked with, who has also worked on The Conjuring, I believe Aquaman, did a bunch of James Wan stuff as well. So essentially the way that it's going to break down is James Gunn is going to be handling the creative aspects of what is now called DC Studios, which is going to encompass everything, the films, animated, as well as live action TV stuff.
Wow.
And Peter Safran is going to deal with the business side of things. They will also be doing projects on their own, but and reporting directly to David Zaslav, but they're going to be the two people who are behind everything going forward. I think that's definitely going to affect Superman. That's definitely going to affect everything. What do you think about this news, and how do you think it's going to impact DC films and TV going forward?
I think this is great. I think James Gunn has a little bit more. I think he's willing to take some swings in the movies he's done in the past. I think it is like, you know what, let's try something here. And I think that's what DC needs to do. I feel like they've been just behind Marvel this whole time. They've been trying to keep up and sort of mimicking, but also being very self-serious. I think James Gunn has a good handle on being able to have a little fun, tell big superhero action stories, and I'm excited for it.
What do you think?
I feel like the next Superman should be written by Tom King. I should write the script on it, and I'm still trying to think of a good director for it. But sorry, I was still stuck on that question.
I mean, I think there's obviously a lot of questions here in terms of how it'll roll out. One thing that I was sort of rolling around in my brain is that James Gunn going from a director to the head of a movie studio that also deals with TV shows, huge step forward. Even if you look at, you know, a director is in essence, like the mayor of a small city in a certain way, in certain mm-hmm. aspects. This is a very different thing. You're dealing with a lot of different creatives and a lot of directions. And you also have a lot of projects that are in different stages of development. I jotted down a couple of them, but you got Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom, aka Aquaman 2, which is pretty much finished at this point. Shazam, Fury of the Gods, which is finally coming out next year. You've got The Flash, which is the big question mark, I think, because of Ezra Miller's involvement and everything else. But also Blue Beetle shot, I think, at this point and still being worked on. Come on, of course, Blue Beetle. Joker 2 with Joaquin Phoenix and Lady Gaga is being done as well. And that isn't even including the TV show stuff that's going on, including James Gunn stuff. They also announced a new showrunner for the Arkham Asylum series that's spinning out of The Batman earlier today. And then you got all the animated stuff as well. So it's a lot of different things to juggle. And the question, I guess, is whether James Gunn and Peter Safran will be taking it in a direction of, like, let's Marvelize it, because that's what David Zaslav and everybody clearly wants us to do. And this is all part of one universe. Or my preferred way is allow it to go the direction it was going, which is like, let's follow all these different creative muses. Let's not necessarily connect them. People can follow it. People can keep up. It's okay. And ultimately, it's a more creative and fun way to go.
Well, and let's just make better movies or better product across the board. And for David Zaslav, when he came in, shelving the Batgirl movie and canceling a bunch of shows, taking a bunch of shows off of the HBO Max service. I feel like having a creative like James Gunn at the top of DCU will help to maybe not have that sort of bad relationship stuff with creatives happen, which I think is detrimental to the whole.
But it did make all horrible decisions. I mean, somebody made the amazing decision to put 101 Places to Drink Before You Die on HBO Max. Yep. So that was a money move right there.
That's true. I don't know if James Gunn had a real hand on that, but check it out. 101 Places to Party Before You Die on HBO Max.
We got a question here from Stray Bullet. Do we think that Gunn will have to give up directing duties given his new position? I'm excited to be looking forward to DC movies again, but he shines as a writer-director.
Yeah, I hope not. I hope he can kind of figure out a way to make it all work. Probably he's going to have to make some sacrifices. But I would like to say, though, as far as like different directions, what's exciting is I hope that, you know, that they don't try to copy something else. They kind of let the stories go where the stories need to go with, but also have some fun with the fact that, like, James Gunn, Peacemaker, you know what I mean, would be fun. I don't know how he could interact with Black Adam, but those two are like huge wrestler dudes, and it'd be fun just to see them, even if it's in a Peacemaker show, having Black Adam just chilling next to him in his shitty apartment, you know, playing video games or whatever. I don't know, but I just think, like, I would like to see some fun bleeding over as far as that kind of stuff would be pretty cool.
More fun. I think that's what maybe you get with James Gunn at the top, which is something that has been sorely needed in the DC cinematic universe.
Well, and I think that also gets to something that we've occasionally complained about with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, is the homogenization of what is going on there, that everything feels very samey. The idea that you could have Peacemaker, which is so totally different from Black Adam, potentially come together in some way. Like you're saying, Pete, that's a very fun idea. But also you can have the Batman universe off into the side, and I don't think it hurts anything. Nobody's going to be like, why isn't Robert Pattinson in Black Adam 2? It doesn't matter. Have Michael Keaton in there. Bring Ben Affleck back. Whatever. You have a bunch of Batmans. Everybody will just roll with it and be absolutely okay.
Hey, George Clooney. Whatever. Nipples.
No, whatever.
It's fine. And then this is the big one. This is also from Stray Bullet. What movies do you want to see get made now that we have Gunn, Safran, DC Universe starting? Also, does anyone else feel a lot of satisfaction over how upset the Snyder cult is going to be over this announcement? I would say not going to be. They are furious and saying that DC took the wrong direction. Zack Snyder should be in charge. What are you doing? This is terrible. Get over it.
Nice. He had his time at the top, and he got what you got.
He got a shot. You know, unfortunately, some things happened in his life, and you got the Snyder cut, so you should be happy with the Snyder cut. I think it's one of those things where, you know, you can't control what's going to happen, and we're here now. So, yeah, I mean, if you like the Snyder stuff, you know, great. But hopefully this is going to move things in a better direction as far as creativity wise. And as far as like, I mean, there's a ton of amazing DC comics, and I'm hoping this somebody's just going to open up a treasure chest of DC comics and really just kind of page through and be like, you know, like, let's make some fun choices and some, there's just years and years of amazing creativity and just unbelievable stories that you just got to pull from.
In the comments, Nat Towson, James Gunn, Impulse. That's fun.
YouTube, I'll just mention Happy Nerd said James Gunn's next superhero he's launching is Plastic Man. Bet. I'll throw out there, I think just talking from a business perspective, I think they're pretty aware that what they need to figure out is Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman first. They gave out a statement, which I thought was very interesting, where they were like, we're very, I'm paraphrasing here, but they were like, we're very excited to take on board all of the iconic superheroes from DC Comics, like Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman, Aquaman, Harley Quinn, and all the rest of them. And I was like, okay, all right. So the Flash and Green Lantern are sort of over there somewhere. Cyborg is over there somewhere. We'll deal with them later. Those are the ones you're concentrating on. So I know everybody's like, James Gunn is into the losers and the weirdos and all of these like esoteric areas of these superhero universes. They got to make the tentpoles work first.
I think that's spot on. And I think that's why Superman, Henry Cavill, is the next up, the fast track, because Batman feels like it's working. Wonder Woman, it was sort of working, and we got to see what the next movement that is. But Superman's the one that needs to come.
That's the fun of having James Gunn now. Like, who knows what he could do? You know what I mean? Like, he could do maybe an unbelievable Martian Manhunter or a Zatanna project. Great idea. What I mean? Like, the fact that he leans towards different characters or characters that maybe aren't as well known is exciting. Like,
You could do like a Guardians Christmas special.
Trailer just dropped for that. I'm all about it, man. It looks fun.
Pablo says a Shazam versus Black Adam movie, please. Clearly, Pablo wants to see Black Adam murder children. That's interesting. Interesting that you want that, Pablo.
I want to just hear more people say Shazam. That's my favorite part. It's just a little bit of magic.
Yeah, we could get a Captain Marvel Jr. movie. We could get a Mary Marvel movie. We could get a Sabacc movie, a spinoff. Like, what's he doing in the Rock of Finality, you know?
Yeah. And death is the path to life. So, like, he's just back at it, I think.
Oh, my God. You got to turn the crowd upside down.
Turn that crowd upside down. See, that's the kind of line I want to hear in this movie.
All right, folks, I think we have wrapped up for the moment talking about the future of the DC Universe, though obviously there are lots more questions to come. I think we're going to kick it over to our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
All right, this is the part we get back to you, the lovely audience. We got Kevin, first stand up guy.
Kevin, probably dressed as Black Adam right now.
Oh my God.
There's like a Black Adam puppet, or he has a Batmite puppet.
You never know. I mean, Black Adam puppet.
I would think Batmite before Black Adam, but we.
Close. I am in costume.
All right. And we need some lights over there, Kev, so we can see what's going on.
Dwells in darkness.
Oh boy. If you're listening to the podcast, Kevin is sitting in absolute darkness. Darker. In the place where Black Adam was trapped.
Kevin, I thought you were going to put on a light. What happened? You got up and then there was no light.
Pete, really DPing this trivia segment.
Is that Teddy Ruxpin he's got behind him? Oh, there's the light. All right.
Fourth Doctor Build-A-Bear, and that's Ray over there.
Oh, nice. That's you're dressed as the 13th Doctor, I see.
Yes.
Excellent. Ooh, well done. Well done.
We just had the finale, and B, this is the last show before Halloween.
There we go. All right. Hey, Pete, real quick, what was your opinion on The Power of the Doctor, the final episode of Jodie Whittaker on Doctor Who?
Well, you know, it's one of those things that I haven't you know, there's some things where you're like, oh man, you know, you feel you can't, you don't, there's not enough time in the day to do all the nerdy things. Mm-hmm. I haven't been in the Doctor Who
universe. Pete doesn't even go to a regular doctor. You can't ask him to watch Doctor Who.
Don't trust that. Doctor Who is not in my health plan. So.
Yeah, exactly. It's out of network.
Not a big fan of doctors in general. All right, here we go. Today's trivia is on topical comic news and a small nod to the legend, Judy Tenuta, R.I.P. Please listen to all three options before
Did Judy Tenuta die?
Yeah.
When?
A couple weeks ago, like, bro.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It was like within a day or so of Angela Lansbury, wasn't it?
Yeah, a couple of days
before. Overshadowed.
Jeez.
Unfairly. Yeah, totally sorry to break that news to you, guys.
It's all right. I thought you were going to do Leslie Jordan, but all right, go ahead.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I don't want to do what you're expecting me to do.
You know what I mean? That is how Pete operates.
Yeah, you're just jumping down that secret passage of the room called life.
All right. Please listen to all three options before making your selection. Here we go. Question number one. Batman and Spawn are reuniting after 30 years because of blank. Is it, and this is spoilers for the series coming out, is it A, because of low self-esteem, B, the Court of Owls, or is it C, Angelica Houston? So it's A, which doesn't make sense, or it's B, the Court of Owls.
I'm thinking B.
Yeah, don't overthink this. Maybe. Nice job. All right, question number two. Werewolf by Night will return to comics in whose annual? Is it A, once a year, B, Moon Knight, or is it C, Carl Lewis running his heart? So it's either B, Moon Knight, which is the correct answer, or you could be completely wrong.
I'll go with B.
You are correct. Moon Knight Annual is going to have it, so definitely check that out. Here we go. Yes. Last one. Data suggests people love a mashup. So this January, it's Archie meets blank. Is it A, Fury Road, B, a bunch of furries, you know, Archie really gets into the furry scene, or it's C, Brent Spiner?
I'm going to lean A this time.
A, Fury Road, you are correct. Congratulations,
wow. And 25. Kevin, do you know what secret Judy Tenuta movie Pete is referring to?
Ooh, look. I'm really thinking I should, but it's not coming to me.
Okay, well, I'm talking about the 2006 Duff-tastic hit Material Girls.
Wow. Andrew Tillman Andrew called Tillman. It in the comments.
Andrew Tillman kevening the trivia.
And Kevin, you have won your choice of a $25 gift card to either Midtown Comics or Long John Silver's. Which would you prefer?
Well, since I'm not going to get a chance for years to spend the $25 to Long John Silver's I already have, I'll go with the Midtown Comics.
All right. Nice. Fair enough. I feel like we need to do some sort of bus trip for everybody who watches this show to Long John Silver's so they can spend the gift cards.
But is there no LJS in the New York, greater New York area?
I thought there was one by 34th Street or something. Too.
There's got to be a secret one in the Port Authority or something like that.
No, the closest one is like 75 miles away in Pennsylvania. There is one in New Jersey, but it's all the way at the bottom, so it's actually farther away than the Pennsylvania one. And then,
all right, I'll talk to the Long John Silver's in Pennsylvania, see if we can. Well, Pete, maybe you can set up a show there or something like
that.
It's hard to negotiate.
I'll be like, hey, Long John Silver's, can I set up my mic here and do a couple of podcasts?
They're like, no one's walked into this business in 10 years.
All right, Kevin, congratulations. Thanks for coming Great on. Great seeing Happy you, Kevin. Halloween.
Happy Halloween. Before we go, Pete, I just have a question. You said that data suggests that people love a mashup. And I just have to ask. What
did you get it?
Huh?
And then what was the third answer?
It was Brent Spiner. Data.
Who's data?
Yeah.
I got you. I really... really caught me off guard.
You know what also caught me off guard? How many great comics are coming out this week? Are you guys looking forward to that is coming out? Pete?
I'm looking forward to Catwoman Lonely City number 4.
That's the last issue of the Black Label series by Cliff Chiang that we've been very excited about.
It is Chang-tastic. It is unbelievable. It is so glorious in so many ways. I can't wait to talk to you guys about it.
Oh, great. Justin, what about you? What are you looking forward to?
I got to give it up for one of my favorite books. I guess, you know what? Two of my favorite books, both from DC Comics, a outfit we've talked greatly about today. The Human Target number 8 by Tom King and Greg Smallwood. Man, this comic is amazing. This issue, since DC Comics come out already on Tuesdays, we know and we've read this. This is a fantastic issue, almost a bottle issue that stands alone. Really enjoyed it. And then DC versus Vampires number 10, one of my favorite DC mini event series. Loving it.
Lots of great stuff that is coming out that I was very excited about. One thing I'll throw it out to is Rogues Gallery number 4 from Image Comics. Ooh, the final issue of this, about a actress on a CW style show who gets home invaded by a bunch of angry toxic fans. Very interested to see how that wraps up. And the other one that I'll throw it out to, that's another last issue from Image Comics, is Sins of the Black Flamingo, which is this extremely gay, very supernaturally infected, very funny, very adventure-y book that's wrapping up. I'm excited to see how that wraps up as well. I think that's going to be very cool.
There's one more I want to shout out. Bloodshot Unleashed number 2. There's this writer, Dennis Camp, that I have been just loving his work. We've talked about his work in the Slack recently. And this issue is fantastic. He also has a series called 20th Century Men that I have been absolutely loving. This is definitely a great book to check out.
Yeah, I'm glad you plugged the Slack, because our Slack channel is not only a lot of fun, but also super cool the thing to talk nerdy stuff with. And I appreciate all the people who jump on there and support us and share their views. And we have a lot of amazing discussions in there.
I totally agree. Could not agree more with literally every word that you said. And that is it for this week's show. Next week.
Yeah.
We are going to have guests back. We're going to stop talking about
Black Adam. We'll be back to talk about Black Adam for one more week.
Week 2. Here we go. We're going to be talking to Dan Price from Bigfoot Knows Karate, and also Dr. Susie Stein and Mr. Ferrando Perez talking about Heavy Metal's Mark of Kings. So that should be a lot of fun. A couple of other podcasts we do. Marvel Vision, our Marvel podcast, is on hiatus between shows, but we're actually putting out, if you can believe it, our Thor Love and Thunder episode next Monday. So check that out. That is coming back. We have a couple of other episodes we're looking to roll out in the future. Also, the Doom Room, our Doom Patrol podcast, is rolling out weekly on Thursdays. And the Umbrella Podcademy, our Umbrella Academy podcast, finally finished up the third season this past Monday. So check out the full run of that. As we mentioned earlier, patreon.com/comicbookclub to support the show and all the shows we do. Don't forget to subscribe and follow on Apple, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice. At Comic Book Live on Twitter, Comic Book Club Live on Instagram, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, what would Cliff do?
Please protect global stability wherever you can.